Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fifteen minutes on the timer, and we're once again joined by Stu Whiffin, and the topic this time is self-employment. So you both own your own companies.
Yep.
Flav, you were talking about the anxiety that brings with it. I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah, well, basically, my situation very quickly was my missus lived in Wiltshire, I lived in London, all of my business was in London, and then it came to a point where if I wanted to spend the rest of my life with this woman, as I do, I had to get out of London and move out. So I had to make that jump from being employed and having that ready income to becoming self-employed and setting up a business. And that, for me, the month or so after that was probably the most... I was steeped in anxiety, but it wasn't like the anxiety that you might experience if you're an anxious person. It was righteous anxiety. I was right to feel nervous, and that anxiety helped me to work harder. But... the idea of being self-employed and realizing that your hours of 9 to 5 don't exist anymore, and some days you'll have 2 hours work and the other days you'll have 14 hours, was a very strange transition, one that I wasn't expecting to find as difficult as I did. But Stu, did you do the 9 to 5 thing? It must have been a while back.
I kind of left college and got a, well, I started DJing and started promoting like small kind of alternative like rock nights in like 1991, like when the kind of the grunge thing exploded, and so just started hiring out like kind of tan halls and stuff and putting on events, and then got headhunted by the club that I'm still at today, and I've been there 28 years, and then from then on, That was it. I've always been a freelance promoter, but at the time I was also in bands, and then, you know, we managed to get a record deal. So I spent a few years touring about, just doing the band thing and just doing anything I could to not have to get a 9 to 5. There's nothing wrong, I should stress, with having a 9 to 5 job. There's a lot of security that comes with that. But for me, I'm not some kind of crazy anarchist, but I don't really like being told what to do. And I like just kind of working at the pace that I like to work at. And if anything goes wrong, I know I'm accountable.
I got a gig back in London before the lockdown happened, that was office gig for about five months. And it was well paid. I couldn't not do it. But the minute I sat down in this office after being at home and being my own boss for a couple of years, it felt like being caged. I was so close to walking out within about 3 hours of being in there. It was bizarre how much my brain has shifted from being completely comfortable in that 9 to 5 job to,
yeah,
actually I can never go. I realise now that like I don't think I'd be happy if I went back to it.
I had about five years ago now, where my cousin had a construction business and just went, will you come in and be, I need a project manager, will you help me out? I'm not that construction guy. But I done it and studied to do it. And yeah, spent a year wandering around telling people what to do on building sites, which is just fucking ridiculous. If you know anything about me, you know, there's geezers on there. And I mean geezers, they're proper fellas on these sites, you know, reading the Sun, you know, talking about tits and fighting. And I'm like, any of you guys like Morrissey? And it's like, you know, I just weren't that guy. And but, you know, I met some amazing people doing that. But, you know, as soon as I was in the office, like you, straight away, it was like, oh man, I've had my wings clipped. I don't like this. I was still doing, you know, the promoting and that on the side and the podcasting, but literally I was there just under a year, and I pulled out of the yard one day, and there was a billboard, and the billboard was for BBC Sounds, and it had the word podcasts in big letters. And I was like, and I've been thinking about starting the magazine, the Pod Bible, and just thinking, is there a market for it? And I just see that billboard, and I was like, BBC are putting billboards up around the UK about podcasts. This thing ain't going away. And yeah. I was like, right, fuck it, I'm doing it. And I phoned Pip up, and I went, I'm going to do a magazine about podcasts. And he went, that's a really good idea. I'll do it with you. And I just thought, oh, amazing. Like, you know, if you've got him on board,
yeah.
You know, the lots of doors in the podcast industry open a lot easier when he knocks than if I was knocking. So, it was really... Yeah, it was just a moment where, you know, I look back on that year of working for someone else and do think, I'm glad I've done it. I had to do it. I had to pay the bills. You know, I got family and stuff, but I didn't particularly enjoy it. And for the duration of it all, I was just thinking, what can I do to get back to doing what I want to do?
It's really weird for me as someone who's never been self-employed, aside from like very casual bit of writing here and there. So, I, you know, I filed a tax return before, but that's it. The idea of suddenly giving up a 9-to-5 job, a job that I've been in for many, many years and feel very comfortable in, is a slightly terrifying one. So I can kind of understand Flav's anxiety. I mean, the other thing is, for me, I grew up with my dad being a self-employed accountant, and my mum was, you know, she raised me and my sister, but she was for a long time the secretary, receptionist, and then office manager for my dad. And I knew the sort of the hours that entail to sort of make ends meet, to make the business a success. You can't just sort of do your 9-to-5 and go home. Actually, dad was working evenings a lot of the time and didn't get to spend time with us when we were little, because he'd be at work 2 or 3 nights a week doing 12-hour days. The amount of commitment that's needed to make your own business work is no small thing. It's something that, you know, it burdens you, doesn't it, as a person. Stu, have you ever worried about this? Like, have there been times where ends weren't meeting and you thought, you know, I'm in trouble here, I'm actually going to have to get a proper job, in inverted commas?
Not for the financial side of things, no. I've been really lucky because I've never really done like one thing. I've always tried to kind of spin a few plates at once to kind of... Like my dad always said, try and leave as many doors open as possible. Like, not matter of fact, not literally. Don't you'll get burgled. But like, but he said, like, leave as many doors, and I've always kind of done that. You know, he did also say get a trade, which you know, for I am a qualified mechanic, which is hilarious again in its very essence. But you touched on something about, like, you know, your dad working long hours and things like that. That's the thing that is where you got to get it right. And I've not always got it right. You know, my kids are 17 and 15 now. And I imagine probably going back sort of 7-8 years, especially working in the nightclub industry, like, it's a lot of late nights and it's a lot of weekend work. There's been a lot of times that my wife's had to go to weddings, birthdays, engagement parties without me and take the kids. And, but again, my dad was self-employed all his life, and so it was kind of what I knew, and it was something, you know, he completely inspired me, you know, to do these things. And I do think that I've been really lucky that, you know, my wife's been very understanding and supportive of some fucking ridiculously batshit stupid ideas I've had, just going, nah, this one's the one, you know. But she's always kind of supported me, because, you know, generally the other plates I've been spinning have managed to kind of pay the bills and stuff. And And yeah, it's exciting. I like it. And I think that's one of the things that lockdown's definitely done. He's made everyone go back to that kind of punk ethos of like, right, we've got to rethink everything now, especially creatives. It's like, yeah, you know, what can we do? How can we, what can we spin out of this? And it's like, and I love that. That kind of fires me up.
What I'd also say is the beautiful freedom of working for yourself. It means that you can take advantage of opportunity. One of the things I couldn't do during my office job was there were things that would present themselves on a moment's notice, and you can take advantage of that if you had no boss saying that you couldn't, ultimately.
Yeah.
So last week we got a gig in London. The next day, midday, if I was in the office, I'd never been able to take advantage of it. And yeah, just back, I think the key to self-employment that I've found so far, I've only been doing it 2 years, so I'm not a fucking expert in this at all, but is just seeing opportunity. That's what I've found that I've become much better at, for not having to worry about some boss telling you what you can and can't do. Actually, that's an opportunity. I can take advantage of that. And it's something I've learned that I didn't think I would.
It's the best bit. Yeah. The two partners of Pod Bible, Pip and Adam, it's the one bit about me that they fucking hate, because on every single meeting, I'm like, oh, mate, and if we do that, we could then go and approach them and do that. Like Adam, who puts it all together, super structured, very organised, and whereas I'm a little bit more, I always feel like I'm the geezer in the sheepskin flogging sports socks and lighters for like three for a quid, do you know what I mean? And it's like, and I'm like, no, don't worry about it, we just go and we hit them up and like, we just knock on their door. And he's like, what? And he's like, no, we're fine. And that, you know, and Pip's kind of always in the middle just going, right, well, let's look at that, and then let's look at what that's saying. And I think it is because I think, whereas I've always worked for myself, you're so right, Flav. It's like when you get an opportunity present itself that if you're, you know, previously your hands have been tied through working for someone else. When you're trying to launch your own business and bring, you know, grow your own business, opportunities are things that, you know, you'd rely on. And so you just grab them with both hands and with excitement. And absolutely, mate. Absolutely.
That instinctual knowing that you're onto something, that's like a buzz that you can't get elsewhere. So you're doing it for yourself, you're building it yourself. When you've got it as well with the extra inch and stuff, you're seeing opportunities, you're seeing people that can help you as well. Finding other people that can help add value to what you're doing, and they're into it. Like, I don't know if you've ever had that with you with the podcast, is that the people you listen to the podcast, you find opportunities for, or they've reached out and thought, no, that'd be great. Like, people have created websites for us. Apps have been built because they like the show and they just want to get involved. It's just, I don't know where I'm going with this, other than the fact that it's a great thing being your own boss and being able to work with people because it feels right.
Absolutely. And that lends itself just as much to podcasts as it does any, you know, any passion, you know, whether that be business or hobby, you know, and it's the same with the podcast with Hardcore Listing. Like in 2 weeks, shameless plug now, we're doing a live show, actually, a socially distanced live show, but it's because we're releasing a record. And it's like, I've never, you know, I've been a failed musician and never got to release anything on vinyl. So I'm like, well, let's release our podcast on vinyl. And we've done top five golden era hip hop tracks with DJ Yoda, and we've managed to get a record label to release it. So like, and it's just seeing them opportunities. It's like, well, what could we do with this that would make it more different? You know, if we're speaking to a DJ, let's see what happens. And it's like, let's ask the question. And yeah, and you know, 6 months later, it's happened. And it's like, yeah, I love stuff like that. Just kind of finding yourself in a situation. It's like, right, I've got this. And I've just spoke to him and he does that. I wonder if he'd be interested in maybe together we could do this. That's the sort of stuff that fires me up. And I like being around other people that are like that, because I get really overexcited when I'm around people like that.
Chris, can I ask you a question? Do you think you'll ever do it? Do you think you'll ever make that leap?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I'm so used to being within a structure. And I think it suits me quite well working within the structure. And I quite like the extra inch being a hobby outside of work and not having to rely on the money coming in to make it workable. Maybe one day. I mean, the ideal thing would be being able to reduce my hours in my 9-to-5 and then slowly build something, because that would then give me a fallback option.
Right, Windy. So I've just seen an opportunity for you. right, you mentioned before we were recording that there's a new initiative at your job where they're allowing people to reduce their hours and adjust their contract. Do you think in any way you might be able to take advantage of such an opportunity that's just been presented to you?
Oh, I mean, it's like the planets have aligned, isn't it, basically?
Maybe. Maybe.
Before our timer goes and foxes will up again, Stu, are there any downsides to
it? Oh, you avoided that question magnificently. Sorry, Wendy, could you say that again? Sorry.
Are there any downsides to your self-employment?
Yeah, you never switch off. You don't go to bed and not think about work, you know, and lots of 9-to-5s, not all of them, you know. When you get into bed, you cannot worry about work until the next morning. That doesn't happen. Yeah. You know, sometimes you have to answer your phone when you're on a holiday. And sometimes, you know, it does, touched on earlier, like, does affect, you know, family life, you know, because, you know, if you don't do it, no one else does. So you have to do it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How about you, Flav?
Oh, yeah, always. Every day I'm worrying about something, but it's not negative. It's not the negative worry. It's a part of just of functioning properly and ensuring that things get done. And I do get anxious, and you second guess the things that you're doing, but ultimately it comes from a positive place. And just for the record, Chris, you could do it. Absolutely. Hands down.
The other thing I know you hate, Flav, is the finances, having to do your tax returns, all that kind of thing. But you've got an amazing attitude to that, which is, I don't like doing it, so I'm just going to pay someone else to do it.
Yeah, I'm in a fortunate position where I can pay someone else to worry about that for me. What's the point of money if it doesn't make your life a little bit easier? I mean, it's no good in the bank.
I love that attitude.
I'm married an accountant.
Oh, yeah. Shit, I should have done that.
Right on cue, our 15 minutes are up. Thank you so much, Stu. It's been an absolute pleasure to be joined by you.
Oh, mate, I've had a blast. Thanks, lads.